This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. And when I was a young lad growing up loving NFL football, I was told by the adults in my life that one of the things the league really would love is if all the teams could be 8-8. They want all the teams to have a feeling like they have a chance, that mediocrity really rules. And while we celebrate the 14-2 teams and the 13-3 teams, that in reality, the league would like everybody to be about the same. We're getting close. This playoff picture in the AFC is as muddled as we get to the mid-December. With the extra playoff game and, of course, the extra game of the regular season, it has opened the doors for a whole bunch of teams to start figuring out today where they could be in terms of a postseason race. There's a lot of navigation that has to happen. But yesterday, there were some teams that fell back into the wild card pool, swimming with the other fishes. And there were others that, even though they lost, were still in the running based on the fact that their schedule is pretty easy the rest of the way. It is interesting to see teams in this AFC playoff picture that we thought were Super Bowl contenders, thought weren't the same as they were last year, blew off because of certain circumstances, and yet here we stand with the three division winners and a whole bunch of teams in the AFC vying for three playoff spots. Now, in the NFC, you're getting excellence. You're getting three division winners with 10 wins, and then, of course, you know, the wild card race is still in a chase with teams with losing records, but it is still three at the top that have double-digit victories on the season. We're going to go over the playoff picture and go over some of the cool moments of the NFL yesterday, because there were a bunch, including Ron's Los Angeles Chargers, and one of the best passes I think I've ever seen. But we'll go over some of the results that mattered yesterday and how does it affect the postseason. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. A lot to unpack from Sunday's NFL action, and we'll get right to it when we come back on Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue the good Monday morning to you. All right, so as we told you at the top of the hour, it is, you know, this has got to be the office's dream in New York City. To have all of the fan bases around the NFL looking at their standings going, yeah, I got a chance. We really have a good chance. And, you know, listen, I'm not into increasing the amount of playoffs, because when you increase the amount of playoffs team, yeah, it does allow for more people to have a chance. But I don't think you want to water down your postseason. I mean, if everyone's in the playoffs, the playoffs even, I mean, what's so special about them? So I don't think, you know, you keep expanding this thing. But by expanding it by one, you certainly are allowing an element of excitement and sort of feeling of hope amongst teams that would not be anywhere near this thing if we were, you know, had gone down to two wild card teams. That extra wild card team makes a big deal, because if there's one wild card team in the seventh spot, right, that is 6-7, well, it allows not only every other 6-7 team to be in there, it allows the 5-8 teams to be in there in the conversation too. And maybe even a 4-9 team if they could get their act together and close it out. You never know. So, yeah, it's not just about the teams with that record. You also are including teams that are just a game behind. Whereas, let's say your seventh seed was 8-4, or, you know, 8-5, or 7-6. If you're 5-7, you're probably not in the running with four games to go if there's a good gap between you and you know, a number of teams between you and that sixth spot. But that extra game, that extra team, that's in the playoffs really does allow for a lot more teams to figure out that they're really not out of it yet. Look at the AFC, for example. There are three teams that have been eliminated so far from the postseason: the Jets, the Texans, and the Jaguars. All right, but after that, everybody is not only in the hunt, everybody is within, everybody, all the teams that are below the seven seed is either tied at 7-6 or one game out of the process. Right, and that's 13 teams that have still got postseason hopes. 13 for seven slots. Now, the Miami Dolphins are at 6-7. So are the Raiders at 6-7. The Steelers are 6-1. But Denver, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Indianapolis, those are five teams, are all 7-6. The four division winners aren't even safe either. The Patriots are 9-4. The Titans are 9-4. The Chiefs are 9-4. And the Ravens are 8-5. And you've got, if you're Tennessee, for example, you've got Indianapolis behind you, two games back. You've got the New England Patriots, Buffalo, two games back with a game to play again against each other. Baltimore is 8-5. Cleveland is a game back. Cincinnati is a game back. The Steelers are a game and a half back. Kansas City's got one game lead over the Chargers. So even the division winners aren't really comfortable. And this is good for the league in a way because, again, it allows more teams to sort of play the what-if game here in mid-December. But if you are Buffalo, for example, how would you feel? If you're a Bills fan, how would you feel? Last night they played Tampa Bay, and they trailed by 17 in the fourth quarter. They had the ball down near the goal line and couldn't punch it in for a touchdown. They settled for a field goal with 22 seconds remaining that tied the game. Brady got the ball in overtime and scored on a 58-yard touchdown pass to Breshad Perriman, who had basically just joined the team. But the Bills fought back. I mean, they were down 20. They were down, 24-10 at one point? Or something like that, 24-3? And Buffalo fought their way back in that game. But they're 7-6. And there's no moral victories. And one of the reasons there's no moral victories is because no one is going to remember the comeback in the fourth quarter or getting it into overtime. No, it's a loss. They might as well have lost 55-0. It doesn't matter. It's a loss. And that puts them in the same boat as Indianapolis at 7-6, Cleveland at 7-6, Cincinnati at 7-6, and Denver 7-6. And they're lucky the Steelers tied the Detroit Lions because the Steelers would have been 7-6 and would have owned the head-to-head tiebreaker against them. Buffalo was a team with Super Bowl aspirations at the beginning of the season. They went to the AFC title game last year. And they started off not only looking good, even though they lost to the Steelers in week one, it was sort of get your kind of sea legs under you. And when they did, they looked excellent. They looked excellent. At one point, in the beginning of the season, they had the number one offense and the number one defense in the league. And since this an unexplicit loss to Jacksonville, in which they lost 9-6, they've had games where they looked good and won, but most of the time they have lost. And their season is starting to come not unraveled per se, because again, they have got the potential to turn their season around because they are an outstanding team. But if they keep letting losses pile up, there's nothing that can save them. Indianapolis is very good. The Chargers are good. The Browns got into this by beating Baltimore yesterday. They could have been out of it. I mean, the Browns could have been 6-7 and mired in a mess, but instead a win puts them right in, again, the big swimming pool of these 7-6 football teams. You know, Denver is winning games. Cincinnati, though lost to San Francisco, is still 7-6. It's exciting, but at the same time, it's nerve-wracking because if you're a team that had that kind of level of talent, you don't want to fall back into this pack. Look at the division winners again. You're Tennessee. You got a two-game lead. Great. Good for you. Right? Don't start losing some games because you want to win this division because you fall into the pool. You don't know how it's going to break out for you. Do you have enough wins? Do you have enough conference wins? Do you have enough division wins? In Tennessee's case, probably. In Baltimore's case, maybe not. It depends. I think Kansas City is the one team that is really starting to show that they're Kansas City again. But you can't breathe or the Chargers will come get you.
Yep. My hope.
That's the hope. I think the only one that really should – well, I guess the Titans should be comfortable. They got a two-game lead, and they've won both games against Indianapolis this season. So that's like a three-game lead with four to play.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you know, the teams in their division are just terrible.
Right. Well, the only team they're worried about is the Colts.
Right.
Right. But New England, I mean, look, it's a two-game lead, yes, but they play the Bills one more time. Who knows? So, I mean, look, and as I said earlier, the NFC – tonight, you've got Arizona against the Rams. Arizona's a 10-win team. Green Bay's a 10-win team. Tampa Bay's a 10-win team. Dallas should be a 10-win team, but they're 9-4 instead. But you go down to their seventh team, it's 6-7, Washington.
Yes.
Minnesota is in the running. Philadelphia is in the running. Atlanta, New Orleans are in the running. Carolina's 5-8. Technically, they're in the running, but they stink.
But this is what we want, right? We want parity.
That's it. That's what the league wanted at the very. They have always wanted this. They don't want haves and have nots. They want every team to be in. They want every team to be in this. They don't want it. They're not dumb. They realize that there's going to be a 2-11 team out there, of course. And in this case, two, and the Lions are 1-11-1. Of course, there's going to be bad teams that don't get their act together. But for the most part, they want to have a conversation. But you know what's interesting? You know what's missing from the AFC that the NFC has? The NFC has bad teams with bad records that haven't technically been eliminated. It's in the AFC, you either have been eliminated from the postseason right now, or you have a very good chance of making it. The Giants, for example, have not technically been eliminated, but they're 4-9. The Bears, 4-9. They haven't been technically eliminated, but they're bad, right? The Seahawks, 5-8. Even though the Seahawks won over the weekend against Houston. But in the AFC, it's a little bit more complex. The Jets, Texans, and Jaguars have all been eliminated, but the 13th team right above them is Miami, and they're 6-7, and they're just as easily can get into this big mass of teams as anybody else when this starts, coming together. Again, was I a big fan of this level of expansion? Not really, but if it can keep a mediocre team alive, and that mediocre team happens to be one I root for, well, I don't mind.
And you look at just mentioning the Dolphins, they have a very favorable schedule. So it's 6-7, they can make a push.
They sure can. And you don't know where the losses will come above you, right? You don't know what's going to happen. We still got four games to play, that's a month of football that we still have. So there's a lot. We'll keep talking about it this morning. In a way, I feel bad for Buffalo fans, but in a way, I don't. I think they're the better team of this bunch that can get out of this. But at the same time, if they find themselves on the losing end, it won't matter, right? It won't matter. All the things that they've done well this season are going to be irrelevant. That win against Kansas City in Kansas City seems like years ago now.
That was last year.
Right? Because
I remember that.
The Chiefs are playing great football and the Bills are not. I mean, again, I shouldn't say not. I thought the fourth quarter was fantastic. I really did.
But that's the issue, right?
But they found themselves down 24-3.
Yeah. It took them to the fourth quarter to figure out, oh, wait, we remember how to play football now.
So they showed you what they can do. But they didn't show it for 60 minutes. And again, it just feels like ages ago when we were looking at the Bills saying an emotional win at Kansas City in terms of feeling like you've mentally gotten over some hurdle. And then feeling like, well, that could come down the road for home field advantage. No, not anymore. They're not in that pond yet. Right? And I don't even think they're getting there. Because right now the Patriots look very comfortable there at 9-4. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue. Lots more on the NFL because it's a Football Monday on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call
on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're on a road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reparable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. A good win for the Chargers over the Giants, but that was expected. That throw that Justin Herbert had, the big pass that went a mile in the air, I wish I could remember who was on the receiving end. I'm actually looking it up right now. He had this beautiful pass. It's one of the best passes I've ever seen. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was a 59-yard pass to Jalen Guyton that happened at the end of the second quarter. So it had 17 seconds to go. Now, I remember a number of years ago, the Florida Gators were playing Tennessee. And Felipe Franks, at the end of the game, he was playing for Florida. He threw a bomb into the end zone, but it hit a receiver in stride. And it happened to be the end of the game, and Florida won the game. And everybody said, Florida wins on a Hail Mary pass. And I was kind of offended by that. Not offended, that's a wrong word, that's too strong. I was kind of angry a little bit at the wording, the laziness of that, because I said, it's not a Hail Mary. A Hail Mary is when you chuck it into the end zone and you hope to God somebody on your team catches it. It's up for grabs. There's a bunch of defenders down there. There's a bunch of your guys down there. You're heaving it up. That's the whole essence of the Hail Mary pass. I'm throwing up a prayer.
To win the game. Or
to
tie
win the
game.
Or to tie the game.
I think you need to add that to it
half.
As well.
It has to be at the end of a half or at the end of end of the game, right? And when this game against Florida-Tennessee, I was mad because the receiver was running in stride. He had broken the coverage and was running in stride towards the end zone, and Franks' pass hit him right on the numbers. And I said, that's not a Hail Mary. It's a long touchdown pass with no time on the clock. That was an executed play. That's the same thing here. If you watch that play, that's not a Hail Mary with 17 seconds to go. He hits Guyton in stride for 59 yards. He hits Guyton right on the numbers. That was not, again, it's not a Hail Mary at the end of the half. That was a beautiful, beautiful throw hitting your wide receiver on a route.
That happened to go to the end zone. It's like, you know what, hey, we got time. We're up. Let's take a chance and see what happens.
So I'm asking my fellow media members, don't be lazy on that stuff. Look at the play. If the quarterback is going after one guy and he hits that one guy in stride, it's not a Hail Mary. It is a well-executed deep ball. And that's what Herbert's pass was against the Giants. And they remain, they go to 8-5.
God, you know, let me be honest with you. I feel really good.
About the Chargers?
About just, you know, Justin Herbert.
Yeah, having a quarterback like that?
Yeah.
He's got a big arm.
He's accurate. You know, really not good. Afraid to take chances. I mean, because this is his sophomore year. He's supposed to be slumping right now.
Yeah, he's supposed to. People are supposed to figure him out a little bit.
Yeah, that's what we always talk about. It's like, it's a sophomore slump. And, you know, yeah, I mean, has he played himself out of games? I think sometimes he has this season.
Sure.
You know, the Chargers certainly, you know, haven't helped him out a couple of times. And that's why they're, you know, 8-5 or what. Yeah, they're 8-5. But I'm taking it.
Sure.
I'm, you know, fifth spot in the wild card, and we're just looking up at the Chiefs. I'm okay with that. I mean,
and go chase the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's how it's going to be for the next couple of years, anyways.
Yeah,
or maybe next year.
Go chase them, right? I mean, it's, you know, why not? Very, very good team, and you know, you're right. It's good to have a young quarterback. You know, think about if Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and a number of other places like Kyler Murray, where you've got young guys, feel like going to be around for a while, and now your team should be in a position to be competitive. Fill in some gaps when those gaps are warranted, you know, defensive front, offensive line, secondary, whatever it may be. But the number one position that you have locked in is a solid NFL starter. Whereas, you know, you look at the team he played yesterday, the Giants. Are they really committed to Daniel Jones? Now, he's out with the neck strain. Mike Glennon had to fill in last night. But are the Giants, are they that into Daniel Jones in the future?
No, can't you see them drafting someone this year?
Sure, of course. Of course, they could say, look, we've had a number of years with Jones. Drafted him in 2019. The last few years haven't really worked out. We don't feel like we're super competitive when he's playing. When he's playing well, it doesn't feel like we're a lock to win a game against anybody, right? But, I mean, even on the losing end, like even when his team is struggling a bit, you know, people in Buffalo, Josh Allen is the guy. That's it. He's the guy.
Yeah,
he was there 300 passing yards yesterday and 100 yards on the ground. Now, he says that this boot that he was in at the end of the game is no big deal. We'll find out later this week. But he's the guy. There's no question about it. It allows your resources to be into other things. You don't have to try to make up for a mediocre quarterback. You got a very, very good quarterback. So now your resources can go to other things. And again, what's great about it is the way the league works is you're pretty much locking this guy in for the rest of his career. He's not going to go in free agency and go to the Steelers, right? He's going to be a Charger for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Right? Or until the end when you find somebody new.
Until
you
go, his 17th,
37,
18th year.
Goodbye. Yeah, exactly.
Or if he blows up his shoulder.
Right. Or if he blows up his shoulder and you can get somebody else in the draft.
Yeah, then we give him to the Saints and the Saints go on a magical run.
Yeah, and they win a Super Bowl. Exactly. But it is a good feeling, that's for sure. I mean, it is.
And that makes up for all those years where, you know, when Philip, you can tell Philip Rivers is getting old. I'm like, why aren't we drafting a quarterback? Why don't we get this guy, that guy? Come on. Then we get our guy. We're like, oh, okay. I see what the plan was.
Next segment coming up, we're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. There's a lot to talk about with that, so we're going to save it for that. But
so much.
But that is what you're hoping if you're Shad Khan, that you've got this guy where it's like, okay, finally we've got this quarterback. But we'll get to that because there is, again, a
mountain.
Ocean full of
you go ocean, I go mountain.
Mind.
It's the
Why
same
not?
Thing.
It's the same kind of thing. Why not? But yeah, there was some impactful games yesterday. I mean, in terms of like teams winning.
I thought for me the big one I thought was the Niners taking down the Bengals.
I did too. I did too. The Niners are a team we've liked over the last few weeks. They had won four in a row, then lost to Seattle, and then came back and won this game against Cincinnati. Did it in overtime. Oh, by the way, speaking of young quarterbacks, Joe Burrow was amazing yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And Ja'Marr Chase was just as amazing.
No, that was a good pick.
Yeah, that was a good pick. Right. That's a good
prediction. But that's what we're talking about. Like, Burrow and the Bengals, they seem just on the cusp of doing it, but they can't.
Right.
There's something holding them back.
Sure. Okay, so you know that he throws this pass to Chase into the end zone where he's getting pressure, right? He's getting pressure. And then he flings it to the end zone, and Chase is on the back line of the end zone like a ballerina. He's towing the line. His 2 feet are right on the end. And he catches the ball. It's great. I mean, I wish my team could pull off stuff like this. Instead, my team is yelling at each other because somebody did a first down dance in the waning seconds of their game against Minnesota. And everyone's mad. Everyone's really upset. Meanwhile, I got these two young guys in my division just slinging around like sandlot football, scoring touchdowns, making it look easy. This Burrow flicks his wrist and it goes 50 yards, man.
Yeah.
He's really like.
Well, you know, and you're starting to see the way he plays. And then I'm starting to question Joe Brady.
Yeah. No kidding.
You know, I mean, I still think that had a lot to do with Joe Brady. I think Joe Brady was a quarterback guru, but the fact that he got canned at Carolina and you're seeing Joe Burrow just able to do it in the NFL, scratching my head.
Joe Brady caught the right guy at the right time and then rode that.
Yeah.
To the certain amount of benefit that you can get from that. That's probably the better word that I was looking for. And then when that benefit ran out, it just ran out. Like you get a guy, you win a championship, you get him to a Heisman, he sets passing records, he's the number one pick. You take that currency, you cash it into an NFL job until you run out of money. And then that's it. Like, he ran out of currency, and now it's going probably back to the college game. All right, we are going to start unpacking the Urban Meyer situation. Was this a mistake for Shad Khan to bring Meyer into the NFL?
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Now we're going to get to the Urban Meyer controversy, because there's a controversy. You may think we're making it up because we're media guys. We make up controversies.
We used to.
Really. We used to.
At the beginning of the season, or not the beginning, but midpoint of the season, after the Ohio State fiasco, lap dance, whatever.
Yeah.
I think we were kind of putting in controversy, but now.
Yeah, that's right.
Now it's full blown.
Now it's full blown. See, we do that in the media, though, sometimes. Like, a team will lose a game, and they're like, you know, Kansas City, for example. Let's say they lose embarrassingly, and the next day, should Andy Reid be fired?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, like, relax. But it's what talking heads want to do sometimes.
Yeah, but this one was the lap dance. He didn't go back with the teams. Like, that's not a coach.
This is the truth. There is a – Jacksonville has a coaching problem. They have a coaching problem. And I am a little – listen, I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. Let me just state this right now. I am not an Urban Meyer fan. I think he's a liar. And I think he is – I don't think he's a really good person. I think people like him. But that's different than being a good person. I don't think he's a very good person. And what I saw when he was at Florida, I liked him at the beginning. When he was at Utah, I liked him at Utah. And I liked him when Florida hired him. And I did say he would do good things at Florida, despite my SEC friends saying, oh, no Mountain West guy is going to do anything. And he did. But as I saw him at Florida and I saw his inability to discipline his players and to put in a position to – you know, they were getting arrested all the time. There was a joke one year that Urban Meyer was going to show up at SEC Media Days in a paddy wagon with his players. It was that prevalent. And I didn't like the way he conned his way out of Florida by saying he had health issues and then took a job at Ohio State a year later after a year off, jumping right into another pressure situation. He did it again. When the going got tough, he did it again. And now he's back in coaching. So I'm not a huge fan of this guy, but... That being said, when Shad Khan hired him, I said, you know what? It's low-hanging fruit to pick on this guy, and I know the fruit tastes really sweet, but I said, look, the only thing I would do if I was Shad Khan is I would sit him down before I have him sign the contract, and I would say, look, I'm not messing around here. This is a very, very valuable asset that I own, and I'm not toying with it. If you're committed to this, then you can come on board. If in a year you start getting headaches and heart palpitations and anything else because you don't like it here anymore, I need to know that right now. I need to know whether or not you're going to be here, because I'm not bringing aboard a guy who, when the going gets tough, claims health problems and time with family to get the hell off this ship. This is a team that's going to have the number one pick in the draft. We are not very good. We are going to have a great quarterback who's going to go through rookie woes, but we are a team that is going to build it. If you want to come here and build it with us, great. But if you think you're going to win the Super Bowl in your first year and then whine and cry to your doctor when you don't, then we are not going to have a business relationship. But that being said, if he had worked that out, then it was okay. Urban Meyer was a loved guy. He's from Florida, you know, at Florida. It felt like a guy you could hire and create a buzz for your team. But clearly, this is not working out. Clearly, this is not. He's not ready for this level. The Jacksonville Jaguars need a better person at that position. Are they going to waste away this kid that is still, despite the fact that he hasn't done anything in his rookie year, still has NFL potential? Real NFL potential, and they're going to waste it on this guy. And it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. His meltdown yesterday after a 20-0 loss to Tennessee, where he was talking about leaks and firing people, and I mean, goodness gracious.
Or just the line that, you know, he's a winner, all of his assistants are losers.
Right.
I'm gone. If I'm an assistant coach, I'm gone.
Billionaires, especially sports owners, never want to admit they make a mistake, right? They never like admitting when they make a mistake. They don't like to be conned. They don't like to, you know what I mean? Like, when you have that much money, you want to feel like you're the smartest guy in the room, right?
Yep.
I mean, even if you got your money on luck or inheritance or anything like that, you want to feel like you're the smartest guy in the room. You want to feel like, especially financially, you're not going to get taken advantage of. right? So, but Urban Meyer, let me ask you this. If you're a free agent, would you go there?
No.
I mean, if you had options, meaning like Jacksonville's going to pay you this amount of money, but you could make a little less and play for another team, wouldn't you play for that other team? This looks like a place you would avoid at all costs.
I mean, it would have to be a Brinks load truck of money.
Brinks load, where nobody else is even close. Yeah. Where the other teams say, you know what, take that deal, because we're not even coming close to that.
So we're offering you half of what they're offering. Yeah.
Good luck. Have fun there, but no.
Nah, I mean, you know, even the rumors coming out, I mean, he's lost the locker room.
Oh,
it's just, I mean, it's just one thing after another. And you, at a certain point, you know, yeah, rumors, there are rumors all over the NFL. You know, at every single locker room, there's a rumor of this going on, that going on. But there are so many coming out of the Jacksonville Jaguars locker room that, and it's been so many so often, you know, over the last couple of weeks that you got to start believing it.
Sure.
I don't, and I mean, for me, it seems like a clear and easy cut.
If I'm Shad Khan, if I could secretly do this without raising any eyebrows, I would hire a firm that says, do me a favor, go out there, contact agents, all anonymous. I don't want any names on the papers to tell these agents that their players are all going to be anonymous. I want the real feeling amongst NFL players about what they think about this, what they think about Jacksonville, what they think about our team, what they think about our coach. Because I have to do what's best for this team. And if I can't get free agents to come here, if I can't get agents to work a deal with us to stay here, then I got to fire this guy. And I'll take my loss. And I'll say, I tried it, it didn't work. But if I've got locker room poison in this head coach, because players talk, and they all talk, and if it's bad, and word starts getting around the league that you don't want to go anywhere near this guy, that he doesn't treat you professionally, that he treats you like a college kid, that, again, he thinks he's on top of the mountain and everybody else is fighting to get near him, then if I'm a player, I don't want to go anywhere near this guy. And the other biggest concern is, how is my quarterback being – you get this lottery ticket dropped in your lap once, and that's about it. Right. Remember we talked about Indianapolis when they got Andrew Luck and they had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. That is so rare. It's crazy. You get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, big kid, big arm, NFL talent, superstar written all over him. And he is rotting away his rookie year. He has not shown any development whatsoever. And Ron, I'm telling you this, I'm starting to hear it from the national media. You and I were on this a couple of weeks ago. This guy has not shown anything in his rookie year.
No.
I don't care if he wins. I don't need him to win. I need him to throw 353 touchdowns, no picks, look sharp.
Or not even that. You know, have Justin Herbert's stat line. 275, three touchdowns.
Sure.
You know, I mean, Justin Herbert didn't have that amazing day, but what he did is he made you believe that, God, this is the Chargers' future.
Exactly.
He's not going anywhere for 15 years.
He threw four picks yesterday that were absolutely atrocious. I mean, I'm not talking like in double coverage where he tried to thread a needle. They were terrible picks. And here's the problem is that you, if you're not putting the right – listen, if Urban Meyer thinks his coaches are losers, then who's coaching Trevor Lawrence? Because he's not coaching Trevor Lawrence. He's the head coach. He's not the quarterback coach. He's not the offensive coordinator. He's the head coach. He's not directly developing Trevor Lawrence. If his coaches are losers, then who's got the handle on growing this kid to be an NFL star? Right? If you're Shad Khan, you go down, then you find out what the hell's going on with your football team.
Didn't Urban pick his guys, too?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I mean,
now he might have had, I got to look at his whole staff to see if there's, you know, what the connections are. But I mean, I'm sure he kept some NFL guys just because he didn't, you know, he's
kept some holdovers from the years past.
Yeah, exactly. But if again, who's the most important guy on the Jacksonville Jaguars right now? Urban Meyer or Trevor Lawrence?
Yep.
It's Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is the most important asset they have. Urban Meyer, coaches can come and go. Potential superstar quarterbacks, because I got to use that term now because I haven't seen much yet. I don't know if this guy is going to bust out or if he's going to turn into the star we all thought he was going to. I mean, again, I trust the people who really, 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 really know this stuff. And they all said that same thing when he was at Clemson. This is a guy that is going to be a star. All of the boxes are checked. But if you throw him with a coaching staff that can't develop that talent, he is going no place. And why? Why, if you're the owner, can't why you've just got to say, this didn't work like I thought, but it's okay. Listen, last week I told you about Josh McDaniels, right? Josh McDaniels flamed out in Denver, right? Not only started off great, was like 6-0 in his first year, 6-0. By the end of it in year two, he had embarrassed the organization with another Spygate scandal, right? Just a complete and utter mess, right? Pat Bowlen had to cut ties with him, right? But here was the thing. You could say Josh McDaniels was the right guy to be hired. Now, Urban came with controversy. There were plenty of people willing to throw a lot of arrows at Jacksonville's way for giving this guy a chance. But you know what? We all really didn't know. We just had our opinions. The only thing we knew was when the going gets tough, he has a tendency to leave. Okay. Maybe in the NFL, maybe he could do this. And if he does this, you get a guy that is sort of attached to the collegiate fan base of your area, that's a big name, that was going to probably be gobbled up by somebody in this league. And you got to admit, maybe this is not working out. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to say, you know what, at the time we thought this would be a good hire. It is not a good hire. And for the good of this organization, we're going to have to find another coach. But you know what, Ron? There's a flip side to this. If you're Jacksonville, the next guy you hire, you got to give him a little bit of leeway. So you got to make sure you hire a guy that has some experience, that doesn't cause any problems, that doesn't have a controversial background, because Shad Khan has done a pretty good job with like Doug Marrone, Gus Bradley, mm-hmm. Doug Marrone. Like, he's given those guys plenty of time,
yeah,
to turn the ship around. He's not knee jerk. He's not like the Cleveland Browns. He is giving guys plenty of chances.
But this is a knee-jerk situation.
This
now.
Is a knee-jerk situation. I agree completely.
I mean, I don't care who's available or, you know, which coach, if it's an assistant coach, or if you've jumped into the college pool. Say you just said, you know what, I'm going to throw as much money as I can to bring in Dabo, because Dabo and Trevor had a good relationship. They kind of were on the same page. I don't even know if that would ever work. But, you know, I think at this point, Shad Khan needs to just – look at it and go, yeah, Urban's not the guy.
Well, you know what? Start looking around this league to find, like, you know, if you want to go college, that's fine. But start looking for the young, up-and-coming coordinator if you want to take a chance.
Josh McDaniels. You think Josh McDaniels would want to
maybe
play with Trevor?
Maybe. We shall see. You know?
It's just one thing after another. I could not believe that press conference. I mean, him calling his assistants losers. You're sitting there going, why?
Yeah.
Seriously, if my boss, media boss, because that's what they are, assistants look up to the head coach. If he was calling you a loser, that he's the winner, that we're all losers, we're the reason why this team is tanking, I'm gone.
Without doubt.
I'm like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I can find a job in the NFL, because we all know that once you're in the NFL, you're pretty much in the NFL. You know, you may not get... If you're the offensive coordinator, you may not get an offensive coordinator job. You might have to take a step back again, but you'll find work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just,
I agree.
It's unreal.
It really is. I'll get more into this as the show continues on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, as we continue on a Monday.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. Saturday, Bryce Young of Alabama won the Heisman Trophy. Not
surprise.
Really a surprise.
Yeah. I was shocked.
Shocked. Shocked, I'll tell you. He is the fourth Alabama player to win the Heisman Trophy in the history of them playing college football, but all four of them have come under Nick Saban. This is also his first quarterback that has ever won the Heisman Trophy. Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, and Devontae Smith all won previously. So good for Bryce Young. Becomes the first Alabama quarterback. And there have been some good quarterbacks there to win the Heisman Trophy.
So did I get him drafted in the second or third round?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Like in the past, I've always made the correlation. You won the Heisman, you're like the first number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing that with Bryce Young.
No, I don't think so. I was very excited, though. The media did not let me down. I started seeing some, here are the favorites for the 2022 Heisman Trophy. Well done. I knew you couldn't resist.
Before they couldn't even announced the winner, right?
Yeah, before we even close the book on this college football season, we've already got the top five Heisman. Yeah, how did that work out this year in 2021, by the way? Were anybody that was in that game, in that ceremony last night on the preseason top five?
No, it wasn't right. The number one choice was Spencer Rattler, right?
Spencer Rattler, yeah. Yeah, no. Did not make it. Did not make it.
Oh, well.
So
it's always next year,
you
guys.
Never know. You never know. You can – oh, God, it's great. College football is so fantastic. It is like 5 years from now when everything starts to really work itself through with name, image, and likeness and stuff. I'll be really curious how – that worked out for everybody, like businesses,
yeah,
players, like the people that dumped a boatload of money into the kid from LSU who never played a down and got deals because he was going to be the starter, or Spencer Rattler, for crying out loud. Like, how did name, image, and likeness go from when we just opened it up at the very beginning in 2021, 5 years later, how cautious people will be. All right, coming up in hour number two, we've got the good, the bad, the numb, and then more from the NFL Sunday as Wake Up Call continues on Sportsman Radio.